Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Saturdays from this very moment, college football returns in 2022. Today is Saturday, July 16th. On Saturday, August 27th, week zero begins the 2022 college football campaign. We are inching closer to kickoff in CFB. Welcome to Football Full Circle on this Saturday. I am Ben Stevens filling in, but alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, as we know him here, Sports Grid's college football analyst, Joe Lisi is here on this Saturday as well, live all across the grid. And Lisi, our focus today will be a full-blown breakdown and preview of the Conference of Champions, as it is known for right now. That would be the Pac-12. Many changes coming for the future landscape of that conference, Lisi, but a focus on the odds today for the 2022 campaign.
Oh, it doesn't get better than this, Ben. And what did I do to deserve this? Six straight days partnering up with you, our first day in terms of the a television broadcast. So always a pleasure. Right. And you mentioned the Pac-12. Chip Kelly, Lincoln Riley will take front and center stage with both USC and UCLA moving on to the Big Ten in a couple of years. But this is what it's all about. It's a very good conference in terms of parity. I think any team, a handful of about five or six teams, have the opportunity to really hoist the Pac-12 title, and we'll see how it plays out in just about 6 or 7 weeks.
Lisi and I host Football Full Circle together each and every weekday on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159, from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And as we always say, as it pertains specifically to college football, the wonderful thing about CFB is the tradition and the history of the past blended in with what is happening right now for this upcoming season in the present, and then all tying that in to what is changing on that future landscape, the ever-evolving landscape, the seismic shifts we have seen across the country, not only in college football, but all of college athletics as well. And we'll discuss that in just a little bit, as we take it back to how it truly affects the odds for 2022 and what this season outlook looks like for the Pac-12 conference. But first, Lisi, we had our first conference media days around the country this week. The Big 12 conference media days on Wednesday and Thursday at Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas. The unofficial kickoff, really, of a new college football season.
And anytime you get Brett Venables and Mike Gundy up at the microphone, you have to sit and wait because you don't know what's going to come next, right? I'm a man. He's calling out the commissioner, saying he doesn't understand why Oklahoma and Texas are still involved in the Big 12 discussions, especially since both of those teams will be in the SEC in 2025. And then Brett Venables, what is he doing? He's blowing through a fire hose? He's blowing and going? What did he say the other day? But gotta love Brent in terms of bringing back the physicality and blue-collar work ethic to Norman. And just maybe they could get to a college football playoff appearance. And think about this, too. Defensive-minded head coaches, when we think about the Big 12, who would have thought that, Ben, about 4 or 5 years ago?
That's the case with Brent Venables back in Norman, where he was the Oklahoma defensive coordinator under Bob Stoops before spending a good portion of a decade under Dabo Sweeney as the DC of the Clemson Tigers. Now gets his first opportunity as the head man at Oklahoma. And as Joe was alluding to, he had a quote out of context at Big 12 Media Days earlier this week saying the fire hose is fully in his mouth. And they are blowing and going. A welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience here. The opening hour of Football Full Circle on this Saturday live on Sports Grid. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi with you until noon Eastern time here all across the grid. Sirius XM channel 159, all of our terrestrial radio affiliates as well. And what Brent Venables is referring to is the idea of learning on the fly. You drink out of the fire hose, you just get ready to go. But That's one of the beauties of hearing college football coaches speak on a podium. Brett Yormark, the new Big 12 commissioner, also making his introductory statements about the future of his Big 12 conference. What is in store for that league? Of course, the Big 12 disrupted last summer when Texas and Oklahoma announced they would be departing for the SEC lease starting in 2025, which led to Mike Gundy, the head coach of Oklahoma State, referencing that during his press conference time this week at Big 12 Media Day, saying, "Why are Texas and Oklahoma here? Ha ha ha. I'm just joking." But within every joke, there's a little bit of truth as well, Gio.
And we might not see Bedlam after 2025. Think about that right now in terms of, you know, that great rivalry, even though it's been dominated by the Oklahoma Sooners, and the Cowboys did get the victory last year, 37-33. But that's what's at, I want to say, you know, when we look at it, that's what's a critical juncture in terms of these conferences right now. USC, UCLA, both moving to the Big Ten, and then we see Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC. But those local rivalries that really shape college football as we know it, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl, and you can go on and on and on. That's where you bring in the local fans from the respective regions. And that's what I think college football needs to maintain over the next couple of years, because without those rivalries, the way we know college football moving forward, it just won't be the same. The tradition is what shapes the sport, Ben.
The constantly changing atmosphere right now of college sports and college football will really determine how we consume the content that is CFB on that regional level, caring about your school, your rival, and your conference versus that nationwide approach where TV revenue runs the day and drives the bus. We'll get into that. The changing landscape in the future, but what it means for 2022, if it has an effect on the odds whatsoever. Come back and join us. Football Full Circle rolls on right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football on this Saturday, July 16th. Six Saturdays from now, the official start of the college football season. Week zero, Saturday, August 27th. We begin the countdown here on FFC. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. The focus today, the Pac-12 Conference. Big 12 Media Days earlier this week. Pac-12 Media Days a week and a half from now on Tuesday, July 27th. And Lisi, we know that throughout these conversations, when coaches, administrators, players even take the podium at these conference media days, a ton of the conversation will be about the ever-evolving landscape of college athletics and college football, especially conference realignment around the country, name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, all of these changes that we have seen over the last year or so in college football. And a focus of that for Pac-12 and Big Ten media days will be USC and UCLA departing for the Big Ten conference starting in 2024. What do you expect the response to be, Lisi, from the Pac-12 during their media day in just about a week?
I think very cold. I mean, because I think the Pac-12 was caught off guard by this move by the Trojans and Bruins. Even though it might have been in the process and in the works for a couple of years, I don't think the Pac-12 knew of anything that was going down. They just seemed completely surprised when they made the announcement. The college football world was surprised when they made that announcement about 3 weeks ago, Ben. So if the college football world was surprised, that means they did a fantastic job in terms of not leaking this news out to maybe respective parties within the conference, the Cals, Arizonas, Arizona States, and they had a mindset in the sense of, we're going to do what we have to do to really capitalize on the revenue for our respective programs, and if we hurt the Pac-12, so be it, because they don't have our best interest in mind when it comes to dollars and cents.
A lot of changes in store, it seems, for the Pac-12. USC and UCLA have already been approved to join the Big Ten. That deal is now done starting in 2024 as of right now. But there were rumors within the last 2 weeks the Big 12 was making aggressive moves and already having conversations with six schools that play in the Pac-12 currently. Oregon, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Washington, and I am blanking on the last one. Lisey, help me out. Colorado.
Colorado.
There we go. Those were the six schools. Yep. See? Mastermind of Pigskin. He's got it. Those six schools, once again, Oregon, Colorado, Utah, Washington, Arizona, and Arizona State were reportedly in conversations with the Big 12. And we heard a little bit about that from Big 12 Media Days just a few days ago, but nothing is truly substantiated in terms of those rumors and speculation as of right now. But that's all for the future. What is happening is also getting ready for a 2022 college football season within the Pac-12. And one of the biggest changes, Joe, as it pertains to this conference this upcoming year, was the Pac-12 scrapped divisions this offseason. No more Pac-12 South and Pac-12 North, just a Pac-12 conference championship game decided by the top two winning percentages within the conference, which has set the stage very well for USC. Plus 150 are the Trojans right now as the favorites to win a Pac-12 title. Lisey, let's start right there. The idea of getting rid of divisions within the Pac-12 conference this year, what does it do to how we will determine a conference champion in the Pac-12?
It gives teams the opportunity to really showcase their talent, number one. And just like the Big 12, you're going to have the two best teams playing at the end of the year, right? The two best teams in the Big 12 were, in fact, Baylor with Dave Aranda and Oklahoma State after they got the victory over arch rival Oklahoma and the Sooners last year. So they squared off, and one of the best championship games that we saw came down right to the last play of the game with Desmond Jackson. So now we have the opportunity in the Pac-12 to have the same type of scenario. Now, yep, a lot of pressure on both of these teams when you mention Oregon and USC are always the front runners each and every year because of the amount of money that the boosters and the alumni have in terms of pumping money into the program. And then just, I want to say, tempered expectations. The last time a Pac-12 team made it into the college football playoff was back in, what, 2017 when Washington got abused by Nick Saban in Alabama. So after that time, we have not seen a Pac-12 champion or team step up. But this year could be a different story. We have teams like USC, at least on paper, that can maybe outscore teams, defensive-minded teams like Utah. And keep your eye out for UCLA and Chip Kelly that can make some noise with an 8-4 record in 2021.
Over the course of these next 2 hours, bringing you up until noon Eastern time, Lisey and I will have that conversation about USC. Lincoln Riley in his first year as the head man in Southern California, totally revamping and reconstructing that roster for a team that went 4-8 and 4-8 against the spread and straight up a season ago. But it is a new look Trojans team. And thanks to the Pac-12 scrapping divisions, before they had done so, even within that Pac-12 South, USC was the front runner, but Oregon was the favorite to win the conference championship. Why? Because of that idea that the Pac-12 North was an easier division to get to. But after that change happens, USC becomes the betting favorite for the Pac-12 championship at plus 150. Lisey, we have detailed it all offseason long here on Football Full Circle. The odds on the Trojans getting better and better, shorter and shorter in the conference, in the Heisman Trophy odds as it pertains to their quarterback in Caleb Williams, even in that national championship picture. Why do you believe there is so much public love on the USC Trojans?
Well, it's twofold. You have the national recognition, right? A storied program in USC and the alumni. Snoop Dogg, Will Ferrell will be putting their USC jerseys and dusting them off from the days of Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart. I mean, that's what it's all about for USC, right? The fanfare, the celebrity status, the LA people buying in to the USC Trojans. And on paper, Ben, they have a very manageable schedule. But outside of that, we know that the defense was absolutely atrocious. Go back to last year, with or without Clay Helton, the 17.5 point home favorite against David Shaw and Stanford, they get absolutely abused by the Cardinal at home. They lose as an 11.5 point favorite to Jonathan Smith in Oregon State. You cannot allow that to happen if you're a USC backer, and more importantly, Lincoln Riley. I don't care how much offense you have. There are blue-collar teams within the Pac-12, teams like UCLA, teams like Utah that play a stitch of defense this year. And if you don't step up on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to punch you in the mouth and you're going to have losses. So we'll see how it plays out, because now there's rumblings. I don't know if you read about Jordan Addison, that he didn't think the NIL deal was as great in terms of where he is now at USC. It might even have been better in his former team at Pittsburgh.
That's all part of the conversation as it pertains to USC this year. If you think about building a house or an apartment, a complete gut renovation of USC's roster for a team that was 4-8 a season ago, yet now has the fifth best odds to win a national championship. Not only Caleb Williams, following his head coach in Lincoln Riley, from Norman to Los Angeles, but also Travis Dye, an outstanding running back from Oregon, an intra-conference transfer down south for USC, and Jordan Addison, who Joe mentioned, the Biletnikoff Award winner from a season ago. That is the best wide receiver in the country. Last year at Pitt, now at USC, catching passes is expected from Caleb Williams. All of that offensive firepower have led to this public love for USC in the marketplace. And there's big conversations to be had about the Pac-12, why USC and UCLA are going to join the Big Ten. It's TV revenue dollars in the Big Ten and what they are able to make in their next TV media rights contract. That was not the case in the Pac-12. And part of that is because of where the conference stands on that national landscape and the respect it maybe does or does not deserve. As Lisi mentioned, 8 years that we have had the college football playoff format where four teams have an opportunity to win a national championship. The Pac-12 has owned just two of those 32 available spots and has not been to the college football playoff as a conference since 2016. There seems to be an idea that if USC can win the Pac-12 title this year, the Trojans might factor in the college football playoff. We'll look at how realistic that is up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle continues on this Saturday live right here on the Spiz Grizz Network, otherwise known as Sports Grid. All right, Joe Lisi, time to fully dive in to the conversation surrounding USC for the upcoming 2022 campaign. We let you know the changes that USC has in store for this upcoming year. Of course, a new head coach in Lincoln Riley, a new quarterback that followed Lincoln Riley from Norman to Southern California. That would be Caleb Williams. So much revamped talent on the offensive side of the football, a reconstructed roster, and that needed to happen in Los Angeles because USC was a 4-8 football team last year, both straight up and against the spread. And despite all of that, Lisi, USC has the fifth best odds to win a national championship right now for this upcoming year at 20-1. It was only about a month and a half ago, USC was 40-1 to win a national championship. That price has been cut in half. Why, Lisi, are all the betting public running to the window to get a ticket in on USC?
Because they're thinking old Pac-12, Ben. They're thinking about the ability to outscore teams, the ability for USC to get back to where they were at the start of the decade or even before that in the early 2000s when they had Carson Palmer as their quarterback and Mike Williams. At the end of the day, games are won and lost in terms of the interior line, and that is where Clay Helton and this offensive and defensive staff failed last year. They allowed 167 rushing yards per game. Everybody loves USC because of Lincoln Riley. And I said it before this week in terms of our radio show, right? I think that Brett Venables is a step up in terms of a defensive-minded head coach from then where Lincoln Riley had this team in Norman with Alex Grinch. Alex Grinch could not take that defense to the next level. Do we really think with only two returning starters in 2022 that he's going to elevate this Trojans defense to the next level to be a top 25 defense in year number one? I just don't see it. I think it's a waste of the money for anybody betting in terms of USC this year. It's all hype, not really reality. And at the end of the day, we'll see how it plays out. Three tough road games, I will say that, in terms of at Arizona State, at Utah as well, not going to be easy this year.
Lisey, USC might make you and me eat our words about the Trojans. If we start to see it, maybe then we'll believe it. But this offseason hype and optimism isn't necessarily founded right now in any recent success. The Trojans' win total is 9.5. The over has the juice at minus 120. The juice has actually come down by about 40 cents. At its peak earlier this summer, Lisey, I saw the juice at minus 160 to the over of that 9.5 win total. A number that USC has not gone over since 2017 when Sam Darnold was under center for the USC Trojans. That is what we are dealing with here with one of the premier brands in all of college football. And Lisey, when you look at USC, not only to win a national championship, the fifth best odds to do so, that's behind the top four of Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. And it's also the fifth best odds for USC to win at least 10 games, 10 or more in the 2022 season. That's minus 120, following suit with the win total, but only Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson, Lisey, have better odds in all of the country of college football right now to win 10 games. That's what the odds are indicating for you. That is the level of expectation for USC this year. To be the fifth most successful team in the country, I'm not buying it.
No, me neither. And think about those four teams that you mentioned, right? Clemson has won two national championships over the last decade. Alabama and Nick Saban, I mean, just the best program over the last 10 to 15 years. Seven national championships, six with Alabama. Georgia gets their first national championship in 41 years. And we know Ohio State's been to the college football playoff and national championship game a couple of years ago with Justin Fields. So at the end of the day, we're talking about programs that all they do is reload. We talked about it in terms of just the SEC play for Alabama. What have they lost? SEC games over the last 5 years. Ohio State's only lost five Big Ten games over the past 6 years. I mean, we're talking about programs that just don't lose. And then we have a program in USC that hasn't lived up to expectations. At the end of the day, they've played down to the level of competition in the Pac-12. And Lincoln Riley, I got to admit, where's the marquee victory when he got into the college football playoff? He's lost every game. So expecting Lincoln Riley to elevate this team and win a national championship because he's on the West Coast, in my opinion, not happening.
And you see those odds that we just showed you right there. Alabama is minus 2,000 to win 10 or more games this year. Ohio State and Georgia, both minus 1,500. And Clemson is minus 400 as well. Heavy, substantial odds that would say it's almost a virtual guarantee at this point that all four of those teams win 10 regular season games. But right behind them is USC. That is the tier that USC would have for a level of expectation entering 2022. Not just to make some noise within their own conference, maybe win 8-9 games in the first year of a new head coach. That might be relative expectation, but not Lincoln Riley, not Caleb Williams, and not the USC Trojans football program. The best odds to win 10 games in all of the Pac-12, as you see right there. We'll dive into Utah and where the value is around the conference in just a little bit. But Lisey, we have talked about all of this public love for USC often here in the offseason. When you look at the futures market, you can correlate team success to individual success as well. So not only has USC's number to win a national championship grown shorter and shorter, now the fifth best price at 20-1, their quarterback, Caleb Williams, for the Trojans this year, has also seen his price drop drastically in the Heisman odds here in this offseason. Now Caleb Williams, Lisey, the third best price, rather, to win the Heisman Trophy at plus 600, 6-1, only behind C.J. Stroud, who is the favorite from Ohio State, Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman winner from Alabama, and there is Caleb Williams. What can we expect to see out of Caleb Williams this year, Joe, in 2022? We know there's familiarity, obviously, with Lincoln Riley, but it's a different situation now in Los Angeles.
Yeah, clearly he's the best quarterback entering the season in the conference right now. You look at the other quarterbacks that maybe have a little bit of a sniff in terms of, you know, being top 20 in the nation, maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson for UCLA, Bo Nix yep. for Oregon. Caleb Williams is head and shoulders above both of those quarterbacks right here, right now. And if we're looking at Heisman odds, he plays on a team that has an opportunity, if they succeed, to win a Pac-12 championship. And if USC is undefeated or potentially has one loss, they're going to be in the national championship picture. So that's why Caleb Williams is there, coupled with Lincoln Riley and the body of work. This is when you look at the Heisman Trophy, it is a story, right? It's not usually just a one-year type of situation. It's over the course of a career and a pinnacle and that marquee moment. Well, Caleb Williams last year did have that moment as a freshman, down 28-7, comes on in the second half in Dallas and leads the upset win over Texas when they trailed by 21 points. That started his career, and that started the media hype. And then at the end of the year, if they were able to get that win in Stillwater where they lost 37-33, maybe it's a different story. Maybe Caleb Williams hoist the hardware over Bryce Young. You never know. But now he has that momentum entering the season. Now with a new team that's been beaten down, hasn't lived up to expectations, and one of the most storied programs in all of college football, that's why bettors and gamblers are betting down Caleb Williams with the hopes that he could return this program to where Pete Carroll had it in 2005 and 2006.
The likes of Heisman Trophy winners like Matt Leinart, like Reggie Bush, although the Heisman Trophy would tell you Reggie Bush didn't win it, but that is all a farce, as we well know. Caleb Williams exploding onto the scene in the Red River Rivalry against Texas last year at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Like Joe mentioned, down in that second half, he takes the place of Spencer Rattler, who was the preseason favorite to win the Heisman Trophy entering 2021. And what does he do in only a half of football? 212 yards through the air, two passing scores, adds 88 on the ground, and a touchdown to boot, and then follows that up the next week, Joe, against a TCU team that struggled defensively last year, but 295 through the air, four touchdowns, 66 yards on the ground, and another score. 402 yards 2 weeks later through the air against Texas Tech, where he also threw six passing touchdowns. Now, here's a point, Lisi, that I think is rather interesting. Yesterday on the morning after, the show I host each and every weekday here on the Sports Grid Network, Kevin Walsh and I were having this conversation around the Heisman Trophy odds and correlating it to team success for the upcoming 2022 season. Kevin is a huge fan of Caleb Williams, started the Caleb for Heisman bandwagon as soon as he stepped onto the field in that third quarter against the Longhorns last season. But he did make one good point that I will give him. What Caleb Williams can do with his legs is a little bit more than we expect to be in the skill set for either C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, where from a statistical standpoint, maybe that helps Caleb Williams a tad in the race for a Heisman Trophy.
Oh, it's possible. Look at Lamar Jackson when he was 8-5, when he hoisted the hardware. Same type of situation. Yep. When you have a dual threat type of quarterback that could put pressure on opposing defenses on the perimeter, you're going to put up points, you're going to stress defenses, and more importantly, you're going to get those highlight reels that fans and Heisman voters see each and every Saturday. So that's an added benefit. But the other side of the coin, Ben, is the fact that he is exposing himself. He will take more hits in terms of his ability to run. Does that hurt him as this season progresses, and more importantly, a run for the Heisman throughout 2022?
And you see how close the distinction is between the top three odds. C.J. Stroud plus 200, Bryce Young plus 400. There's Caleb Williams at plus 600. Just last week, everybody, he was 8-1. So $2 of movement in a positive way for Caleb Williams. But it's a large drop-off to the next best odds on the board. D.J. Uiagalelei, Tyler Van Dyke, and Williams' replacement in Norman, Dylan Gabriel, all at 30-1. So if USC is not the team in the Pac-12, who is? We discuss that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So there is a ton of public options on the USC Trophy. Odds to win a national championship in the 2022 college football season. They're odds to win a Pac-12 conference championship as well. But if you get the feel from Joe Lisi and myself, I'm Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on Football Full Circle on this Saturday. We do not agree with putting your money down on USC. We understand why there has been that public perception of hope for USC in 2022, but we don't think it is wise market movement or wise wagers to lay here in the offseason. Now, Lisi, if that is the case, of course it means we expect somebody to be USC's biggest challenger within the Pac-12. If you had to highlight one team only, Joe, who are you going with?
Oh, why did you do one team only?
Yeah, you knew why.
You know why I did one. Oh, boy. Well, then I'm going to go with my dark horse. I'm going to go with UCLA and Chip Kelly because I really believe Chip Kelly has turned the corner in Pasadena and what they were able to do last year. I mentioned 8-4, has a senior quarterback in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. The running game got going with former Michigan running back Zach Charbonnet last year. They pounded the rock for well over 150 yards per game. But it was the front seven, in my opinion, that really took major strides. They held opposing offenses to only 124 rushing yards per game, beat up USC last year in the Coliseum by 20-plus points. They get USC in their house this year, and they became a more physical club, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I like that recipe heading into 2022, Ben, at a 12-1 to win the Pac-12. My money's on the UCLA Bruins to challenge Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley.
Last year, the Bruins, the best against the spread record in all of the Pac-12, 8-4 on the season overall, but within the conference, 6-3 against the number. And as a favorite last year, Chip Kelly's Bruins, 6-3 ATS as well. When you're booked as a favorite, of course, there is an expectation you are going to win that football game at least outright. And when you are covering in such a large clip like UCLA did last year, you are meeting and maybe even rising above expectations. It is a positive benefit to take into a new year. And DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, is certainly somebody that has the keys to Chip Kelly's offense, old reliable, in a conference that has seen a ton of change at the quarterback position. Now, here's the reason that I pressed Joe Lisi right there on only one team that he liked to challenge USC within the Pac-12, because I know that he is in love with two teams, and that second team is also a team that I feel very fondly about. That would be the Utah Utes, tied for the second-best price right now to win the Pac-12 title with Oregon at plus 300, $1.50 behind the USC Trojans, who are a favorite at plus 150. Here is why I love Utah. Consistency is what Kyle Whittingham does. An 8.5 win total for the Utes, a number they have gone over six of their last 7 years. Of course, Utah, the Pac-12 champions from a season ago. I think there is value on the Utes once more because of how much public love USC has seen and how short that price has grown to win the Pac-12 championship. Lisi, you know this very well. Utah last year starts out 1-2 straight up, 0-4 against the spread in their first 4 weeks. But they go on to win 8 of their final 9 regular season games, covering in 6 of those 8 victories. The only 2 covers they did not have as 24-point favorites. And this year, their biggest game on the schedule from a conference perspective is against USC, but it happens in Salt Lake. And we love the early look-ahead lines that we have here, even in early July, as we get ready for a new college football season. Utah booked on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Joe, as a 3-point home favorite for that matchup against Lincoln Riley and the Trojans. At least as it stands right now, that game's in early October. A ton can change, but at least as it stands right now, Utah expected to beat USC outright.
Yeah, the last time that USC went into Salt Lake City was a couple of years ago with Keaton Slovis. They were a 3-point favorite, and they actually walked out of a victory. Very close ball game in the second half. Jake Bentley, the former Utah quarterback that was transferred in from South Carolina, was ineffective. But you look at Utah as a whole overall, yep. Ben, the difference in terms of, you mentioned how they started last year with former Baylor quarterback Charlie Brewer to where they were at the end of the year with Cam Rising, they had an offensive identity, right? Utah is very effective when they can wear teams down, ball control drives, run the football between the tackles with Tavion Thompson, their big play running back, and then rely on a front seven that just gets after it in terms of quarterback pressures and turnovers. Charlie Brewer was not effective in that offense. Cam Rising was, and the team rallied around them. So that's the difference from where Utah was at the start of the year to the end. And let's not forget, you mentioned six of those eight victories last year at the end of the year, right? Eight victories down the stretch. Two of them came against top-ranked Oregon and Mario Big Chest Cristobal with Kayvon Thibodeau in that defensive lineup, right? Couldn't get to the college football playoff because they absolutely got hit in the mouth by Utah in Salt Lake City, and then they followed it up 3 weeks later in the Pac-12 championship. So this is one of the best teams in the conference when you look at it as a whole. The only thing holding Utah back, in my opinion, Ben, is the schedule. They start off with a very difficult ball game with Florida and Billy Napier in the swamp. If they get through that, they still have to get through another blue-collar team in Mountain West Conference, San Diego State. They go on the road to the Rose Bowl, another difficult game in terms of UCLA, and then obviously USC at home. That's not easy when you look at their schedule as a whole, but I still think they have the ability to be a 10-win football team and even challenge for a Pac-12 title this year.
Completely agree, Lisi. The only thing that takes my optimism for Utah in 2022 back just a step is how difficult that schedule is. But I'm glad you bring up that opener in Gainesville in the swamp on the first full Saturday of September for this college football season, because we have seen a line go flippity-flip as it relates to the Utes and the Gators. Utah opened as a 1.5-2-point road underdog. Now they are booked as a 1.5-point road favorite in the swamp in the first game for Billy Napier. And it is that physical presence that remains that consistency for Utah in Salt Lake year after year after year under Kyle Whittingham. You bring up Tavion Thompson, a part of the 11th best rushing offense in the country last year for Utah, averaging more than 212 yards per game on the ground. And on the other side, controlling that line of scrimmage, Utah had the best rushing defense in the Pac-12 a season ago, only giving up just a tad over 126 yards per game to its opponents. They were a step ahead of UCLA, the 21st best rushing defense in the country. That was where Utah was a season ago. And Joe, when you look at the averages from Utah's last three games of last season in college football, back-to-back against Oregon in that Pac-12 title game as well, and then in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, where they gave up a ton from a passing perspective, but they only allowed their final three opponents to average just about 82 yards per game on the ground. It was that physical domination to the nth degree against Mario Cristobal and Oregon that maybe is why Mario Cristobal is the head coach of Miami now and Dan Lanning takes over in Eugene. He wants no part of what Utah has to bring from that physical perspective. And I love the sustainability under center as well, having Cam Rising back as your starting quarterback, the guy that won the job last year, reinvented that Utah offense that led to those eight wins in their last nine regular season games. And that's why I feel optimistic about Utah this upcoming year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we talked about Cincinnati, right, last year in terms of what it would take for them to crack the college football playoff. They built up the resume from the year before. Yep. Same thing with Utah, right? Everybody remembers that Rose Bowl game where C.J. Stroud had to pull out that victory with all 500 yards through the air in terms of those wide receivers and what they were able to do. Everybody remembers how gutty Utah was as a 6.5-point underdog in the Rose Bowl. Yep. So that should carry through this year, Ben, where if Utah is, let's say, a one-loss Pac-12 team, or they are undefeated, they're going to be mentioned and obviously slotted in the college football playoff, not just because of this year, but because they were able to compete against one of the best teams in the country and one of the best offenses in the nation in Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes.
So well said, Lisi, because we have seen that when teams have not made the college football playoff, the Group of Five had never until Cincy a year ago, and the Pac-12 again has not made the previous five college football playoffs as a conference and only two appearances in the eight-year history of the CFP. Oftentimes, a two-year sample size can prove to be a huge benefit. So the conference title winners a season ago in Utah, now an opportunity to do the same thing, and they will need to win the Pac-12 championship for a second consecutive year, in my estimation, to qualify perhaps for the college football playoffs. So if I love Utah, let's correlate the markets, Joe. Plus 300 to win the Pac-12 title, of course, book that. Over their team win total of 8.5, certainly so. I don't even care that the juice is rising now at minus 135. To that over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But if I think they have an opportunity to be a conference champion, winning 10 games, Lisi, is almost a must, right? A 10-2 regular season to have an opportunity to play in that Pac-12 championship game. So I need a sprinkle of that 2-1 price on the Utes to win double-digit games in 2022.
And you might as well sprinkle, what are they, 80-1, or at least they were at the start of February and March to win the national championship, because all they need is a window to crack the college football playoff, and we just outlined how they can get there. So I'm in agreement with you. They're one of the best defenses in the nation. Now, they lose, obviously, Devin Lloyd, their big play linebacker, that moves on to the NFL. But if it's one thing in terms of Kyle Whittingham, again, a defensive-minded head coach, blue-collar, physicality, offense, and defensive line play. So we know the Utah Utes are going to be there. Typically, they struggle when teams challenge them over the top in terms of that secondary. But at the end of the day, if they get that victory over Florida, that is a very good gauge as to where Utah is from a national perspective. And I think we take them on every level, over the 10.5 to make the college football playoff, and 80-1, obviously, to have a shot at a college football national championship this year.
In this off-season time, when you approach the futures market, you can think of it like a ladder. If you have a thought about a team in a positive way, how do you build up the track record for them for the upcoming year? Looking at a win total. Well, if they go over that, might they find some plus money to win 10 games? And if they can do that, might they be a conference championship contender? Okay. And if they're a conference championship contender in a Power 5 conference as of now for the Pac-12, and if they knock off a team like USC on their way to winning a conference championship, then yes, Utah will be in the conversation for the college football playoff. Absolutely so, by the time we get to early December. Five early lines available for the Utah Utes for the 2022 season on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Even with that difficult gauntlet schedule, Lisi, Utah booked as a favorite as of right now in four of those five games, including against USC, even on the road at UCLA, and certainly on the road in that season opener against Florida. If they can slow down the rushing attack of the Gators, and that's the first display we get of Utah in 2022, my optimism is about to go sky high. The only game that I mentioned the Utahs are booked as an, or the Utes are booked as an underdog in, is the second to last Saturday of the college football season, November 19th as of right now, against Oregon on the road in Eugene. It's the Ducks as a 3-point favorite. Dan Lanning's first year coaching inside Autzen Stadium. We look at Oregon to round out our number one up next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Begins in Eugene, Oregon for the Ducks football program. The reigning national champion Georgia Bulldogs had one of the best defenses I can remember seeing in college football in the last decade. The best scoring defense in the country, only allowing their opponents to average just about 10.5 points per game a season ago. I bring up UGA because that defensive coordinator is now the head coach in Eugene for Oregon. That would be one Dan Lanning. Lisi, what is a fair expectation level for the Oregon Ducks in 2022?
to be more physical on the defensive side of the ball. I think a realistic expectation, as long as they're 8-4 overall this year, that would be a great first year for Dan Lanning. Expecting this team to all of a sudden compete for a Pac-12 championship in year number one, when you lose Kayvon Thibodeau, you lose Johnny Johnson, you lose C.J. Verdell and Travis Dye, that's a huge ask from a first-year head coach, coupled with the fact that they have Auburn transfer quarterback Bo Nix at the helm. That's enough. Yep. I mean, just think about Dan Lanning and how much time he has to hold his breath watching Bo Nix make progressions and reads and coverages in the Pac-12 this year. That's going to be a huge, huge ask out of a first-year head coach.
The win total for the Ducks this year, 8.5, and the over has the juice at -130, and expectations still at least as the odds makers see it, for Oregon to win 9 games this year and be a factor in the Pac-12 championship conversation. Of course, tied for the second best odds right now is Oregon alongside Utah at +300 for that Pac-12 title, only $1.50 behind USC. Now, here's the interesting thing about how the schedule starts for the Oregon Ducks. That opening weekend of the college football year, week number one, Oregon, a 17.5-point underdog against Dan Lanning's former team and the reigning national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. At least Noah Sewell is there in Eugene. The younger brother of Penei Sewell should be one of the best linebackers, not only in the Pac-12, but all of the country this year. Plenty more to come in hour number two of Football Full Circle after the break.